Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Thanks for joining us today. We have a great conversation before us. Ever thought about serving God and His people in a place that might be foreign to you, but a place where people need to hear God's word? Perhaps they've never heard God's word in their own heart language. Going to talk about that, the process of becoming a missionary formation with Lutheran Bible Translators. We're going to talk with the staff and one of the students who's preparing to be a missionary with Lutheran Bible Translators. So hope you can stick around for all the conversation. It's bound to be a great conversation ahead of us today. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuo.org, and look for the sponsors section. There you can find Concordia University, Wisconsin, the CUW logo in our sponsor section. Click on that. That'll take you to their page. Go check it out. Concordia University, Wisconsin at KFUO.org. Our first guest joining us by phone today is Corey Fay. He's the missionary formation advisor with Lutheran Bible Translators. Good morning, Corey. Thanks for joining us on Faith and Family today.
Morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Corey, what is Lutheran Bible Translators? What are missionaries with Lutheran Bible Translators? What do they do? What are they all about?
The mission of Lutheran Bible Translators is to make God's Word accessible to those who don't have it in their heart language. And so that's the language that people speak best, the language that they grow up speaking, their mother tongue. And so missionaries with Lutheran Bible Translators do a number of different things. First of all, as you would guess from the name, a lot of our missionaries are involved in the process of translating the Bible into languages that don't have it. A lot of our missionaries work in Africa, but also in Asia, and some in South America as well. And they work with different teams in the areas where there are needs for Bible translations, working with different partners, whether it be church partners or local Bible societies, to do the work of translation, which is very time-consuming, takes several years in order to even do a New Testament into some of these different languages. But another job that a lot of our missionaries are involved in is what's called scripture engagement. So a lot of times, even though you provide translated scripture, maybe in written form, there are a lot of different barriers that prevent people from having access to the word. One of them is that a lot of these different languages that LBT has worked with over these past few years is that there is no written form of the language. And so before people can even have access to this word of God in their own language, they need to learn to read and write their own language. And so our missionaries will work with the local community, whether it be through the church or through primary education facilities, to teach people how to read and write so that they do have access to the word of God in written form. But also, there are a lot of communities that have that are primarily oral in nature, so they communicate things orally and don't really have writing as a part of their everyday practice for communicating back and forth. And so, in order to provide them scriptures that are accessible to them, we provide audio forms of scripture, and this takes a number of different forms. Some of it is in recording it on different audio devices, some like the Proclaimer, which is a solar-powered audio player that provides audio scriptures for people in different areas where they may not have access to electricity. But there are also something that's booming in a lot of the areas that we're working in is cell phone technology. And so we are also looking into different ways of providing audio scriptures through SD cards and including those in cell phone technology to provide provide scriptures to people who don't have it, but using a device that they already have just right at their fingertips. And so we have a lot of missionaries working in scripture engagement to remove some of those barriers so that people will engage with scripture. Another major role within LBT is one of ethnomusicology, which is just a fancy way of saying we have missionaries that work with local communities to take translated scripture and put it into taking that translated scripture and putting it into a musical form that is local the area, not taking a Western hymn and trying to translate that into the language there, but trying to make the music natural in that area and very much an indigenous worship style. And so this takes the form of not only worship songs, but also helping out with liturgies. We've had some missionaries work together with church bodies to develop different liturgies in their own language, but also in their own cultural style. So those are some of the main roles that we have with that our missionaries are involved in Lutheran Bible Translators.
If one is considering becoming a missionary with Lutheran Bible Translators, can you give us an idea of what that formation process looks like?
Yeah, it takes shape in a number of different ways for everybody. Some consider by inquiring with LBT, and then through the course of conversing with a recruiter, they come to different events to learn more about LBT and then end up joining. So, for instance, they may be exposed to LBT through a visit by a recruiter on campus at their college campus, or at a convention, like for instance, like the LHM convention that just happened last week. You may be exposed to LBT that way. And through that process, they come to learn more and more about LBT. Maybe then they come and are introduced to more of what LBT does through our recruitment event, In-Depth Investigation of Missions, which we call IDIOM. And that's a 2.5-day workshop where we introduce people to the work of LBT, but also help them to experience what it might be like to work overseas through different cross-cultural simulations. And so these are ways that people get introduced to it. Now, in the formation process, kind of as they're going through that recruitment process, we help them work through a number of different resources, whether it be reading material or going through different training courses, such as like a first aid or medical training course. We help our missionaries or would-be missionaries to prepare for the process. Another way that we help people in that recruitment process to prepare is a logistical thing that you don't even think about is a lot of places where our missionaries work, they have to learn how to drive stick shift. And so a lot of people here don't know how to drive stick shift. And so that's one really important thing that if you learn early on in the process, it's one less thing that you have to worry about once you actually get overseas and are doing the work. So those are some logistical things that we try to help out with in this formation process. Then as people that are interested in LBT go through the application process and become candidates, then we move them on to more formal training courses, such as the linguistic training courses at the Graduate Institute of Applied Linguistics in Dallas, Texas, which has a applied linguistics course structure that works people through all of the different linguistic skills that they would need in order to work in an LBT translation project. Also, within this, you're not only learning how to learn different languages and analyze these different languages, but you're also learning how to adapt to a different culture and what are some of the different challenges that you may experience as you encounter people of a different culture, and what it's like to go through culture shock and how you deal with some of the challenges there. And so that's all a part of the formation process for our missionaries as they prepare to go overseas.
As one who serves as an advisor for missionary formation, what do you do to help missionaries go through that formation process? Those who are would-be missionaries go through that formation process.
I work primarily with people that are in the early stages, looking at what are the skills and interests that they have, and what are things that they still need to learn in order to prepare them for the field. So I work with them to kind of assess what their needs are for training, and then work with them through that early process in the recruitment process to build the skills that they would need in order to work overseas. I also help to advise people that are have gone through the application process with LBT and who are interested in beginning training. I help develop their training programs based on their background and their experience to find something that will fit their background, but also fit the needs of the role that they will be filling overseas. And sometimes that could be a master's degree program. Sometimes that could just be a few courses here and there. It depends a lot on the different individual.
Well, let's talk now with one of those with whom you've been working with, and let's go, joining us by phone now, Michael Ursland. He's a student who is going through that formation process. Good morning, Michael. Thanks so much for joining us this morning on Faith and Family.
Hello. Good morning.
Michael, tell us, what prompted you to consider becoming a missionary with Lutheran Bible Translators?
As I began school at Concordia University up in Wisconsin, I knew I wanted to go into the mission program there. I have a sister that went through there with missions and nursing, and I got to hear the stories from her and thoroughly enjoyed them. And I had another opportunity to go abroad with a sister for just a week to do some service projects. So I knew I wanted to go into missions when I began my undergrad in Mequon. And I met with my advisor several times within the first semester, asking him different questions. I know I want to do missions, but what is there? And one of the things he said is, that's great, but you need to have something that goes along with missions. And so I began looking online on the internet for different things that interested me that went with missions, and I came across Lutheran Bible Translators. I'm interested in languages, and I was taking Greek, and as I began to research more, I saw, wait a second, do they still do this? And I went to my advisor, and I asked him if they have a degree or a program, or if there's careers out there with Bible translation, and he said, yes, there are. And I was surprised and excited to find out that there's Bible translation out there, and so that's what prompted me towards missions and Lutheran Bible Translators. So, as Corey mentioned, they would have recruits. They would come up to universities, and LBT will come up to Concordia University, say, probably about once a semester or once a year at least. And so I got connected really easily and very quickly with them. They're very open and gave me many opportunities to ask questions about the organization, learn about mission life abroad. Maybe a couple instances they would have scenarios where we can have a taste of what might be something that a missionary may encounter through simulations. And I loved it, loved all of it. And so I've just kept on going since. So
did you go through the program that that Corey was talking about earlier, the Idiom?
Yes, I did. I went to Idiom 2 years ago, and that gave me an opportunity to be able to meet with some missionaries that were here in the stateside on possibly furlough, or they were here for Idiom, and I could just ask them questions related to life there or some of the difficulties or blessings, just to get a better understanding of different Bible translators' opportunities in what is it that missionaries go through abroad. And that was an extremely excellent event. So I highly recommend it to people who are interested in missions or how do you, in a sense, support missionaries, and for people who want to know more about Bible translation. It was an excellent opportunity to attend.
So after you attended Idiom, where did it go from there for you?
After Idiom, I had was going into my junior year of undergrad, and then after my junior year, my final year, I began the application process with Lutheran Bible Translators. I was in contact with Corey, and then another lady that works there at LBT, Karen Campbell, and they helped guide me through the application process. There's different things they have autobiographies that they'll ask you to write about different instances, and so that they as an organization have a better understanding of the individual, and as they prepare and review, just to gauge an understanding of where they are. And so I went through the whole process with that, and also was able to go to the service center and meet with them firsthand, and they were very honest and open and informed me of various things that LBT does, and I just told them that, informed them of my interest with working with LBT, and either in Bible translation or in scripture engagement. And actually right now I'm gearing a little bit more towards a thing called Vernacular Media, which is a person who does the recording of audio Bibles. So that's kind of where I went after Idiom.
Very cool. Now, tell us about your experience of traveling abroad. Do you have any experience traveling outside of the country?
Yes. I was able to go, as I mentioned, with one of my sisters to Belize, and that was my first cross-cultural experience. But most recently, I was able to go with LBT to Botswana on a trip called Crossroads, and that gave me an opportunity to shadow missionaries at three different portions of the country, with working with three different language groups, people groups, and to see what it is that they do firsthand, and to be able to see both the challenges but also the blessings and immense blessings that come with Bible translation. So, yeah.
So you'd been to Belize before, but now you have the opportunity to go to Botswana with the Crossroads trip with Lutheran Bible Translators. How did you prepare for that trip? What did you anticipate as you were preparing for that trip to Botswana?
Yes. As Corey mentioned earlier, they provide reading material and guidance for books to read for people who are interested in missions, planning to go abroad in missions. And so they gave a reading guideline to us that were going on the trip. One of them is an excellent book that I read for my one of my mission classes in undergrad, and it's called Ministering Cross-Culturally by Lingenfelter. And so that just presents six different dimensions that people face in different situations, whether you're time-oriented or non-time-oriented. What does it look like? Maybe crisis-oriented or non-crisis. How do people react to things that occur that they don't plan for? That was something that helped prepare me. And then also another book called Cross-Cultural Servanthood. And so those were two different books that I had read as I prepared to go. And I also did research into just, where is Botswana? I didn't quite know. So I looked and I was like, oh, it's right above South Africa. That's so neat. And I'm looking, well, where's the capital? Just trying to understand more information about the country, the people that live there, what are some of the languages that they speak, what are some of their customs, and it's amazing what's on the internet to be able to find out about other cultures around the world, and it's excellent to be able to learn, and I greatly appreciate it. So that's what helped prepare me as I plan to go abroad.
So you were prepared, you went to on the Crossroads trip, and tell us about the travel, tell us about getting to Botswana, how did that go?
It went well. At first, there was a slight little hiccup, but that was just with someone with a passport and being able to get out of the country. And God, His hand is over everything, and He was with our group. And we were able to leave as an entire group out of the country, and travel went well. We flew on over first to Amsterdam, then from Amsterdam down to Johannesburg, South Africa, and then into Botswana. And throughout the entire time, the trip went well. Some people are nervous when it comes to flying in planes or just travel, the idea of traveling internationally, but being with LBT, with other people as a group, that was extremely helpful for just guidance or if they had questions. And when we were in the country itself, we were with a missionary and another person that drove us around the country. So if we had questions, we could ask them. And the official language in Botswana is English. So we could also just communicate with the people there in English. And if they didn't speak English, then we could ask the missionary or one of the missionaries at the translation sites questions, and then they could also talk to them. So that helps break down that barrier. So, yes.
Now, Corey, if I understand correctly, you were on this crossroads trip as well, correct?
That is correct.
And so how did you prepare for this? How many people went on the trip?
A total of six people from the U.S. Four of them were students, either in college or just recently graduated. And then two of us from the LBT Service Center, myself, and then the person that Michael Ersland just mentioned, Karen Campbell, who also works in missionary formation.
And was this your first trip to Botswana?
This was actually, yeah, my first trip to Botswana. I had been to several other places all over Africa. I had just been to Ethiopia, Nigeria, in Cameroon, and Ghana as well. But Southern Africa is much, much different than West and Eastern Africa. For example, this is the first time that I've ever been cold in Africa. You know, you'd think Africa, it's always going to be warm. It's always going to be... you're going to be sweating like crazy. No, actually, it's winter in Botswana when we were there at the end of May, early June. And so during this trip, we were camping every night. And, you know, we're in the middle of the Kalahari Desert in the western part of Botswana. And so there's nothing to hold the heat from the day in, because there are no clouds in the sky. And so you end up with temperatures in the 30s or upper 20s at night. And, man, it was frigid.
What was the temperature like during the day?
During the day, it depended. Sometimes you would get a really cool wind, and it would be in the upper 60s, low 70s, but could be up as high as 85, but very pleasant. Much different than their summer, which is the opposite of us since it's in the southern hemisphere, but they can get upwards of 110 or higher for their highs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, what was it, as you were thinking about the trip and all the preparations that went into it, and you got there, what was it like being a part of that experience with these students and those who were considering becoming missionaries with Lutheran Bible Translators?
Well, it was great to be a part of the trip, and I had interacted with all the students for as long as a few years to just a few months in preparation for this trip, and it was great to see how over the course of the whole trip, you know, you start out a trip like this where everybody is kind of nervous, trying to figure out how things work. They're experiencing a different culture. For some of them, this is the first time they had been overseas at all, but all of them, the first time in Africa. And so to see their reactions to different things and to see them seeing these things for the first time all new was a great enjoyment for me. But also to see their excitement at some of the work that LBT is doing overseas and seeing them understand firsthand the importance of the work of Bible translation and scripture engagement for these people in these different locations. I think that for me was the greatest joy. And with that understanding, realizing for them, okay, what does this mean for me in my future, and how is this going to change how I go about serving in missions? And for a lot of them, you know, it's the trip started out with maybe a little bit of interest and not sure if they wanted to do Bible translation, but sort of interested in missions. So by the end of the trip, all of them saying, what do we need to do to move on with LBT and continue this work and what do we need to do to train to prepare ourselves to do this work in the future.
I want to hear more about that trip when we come back from a break from you and from Michael, both about who you got to interact with and what you learned while you were there. So folks, listen, stick around for more Faith and Family as we're talking with our friends from Lutheran Bible Translators about missionary formation. Coming up next right here on Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Abby Johnson's a dear friend who ran an abortion mill in Texas for several years but became pro-life and an active Christian. She now advocates for life and alternatives to abortion. But that didn't lessen the pain she felt when a 16-year-old girl emailed her saying, "You told me I would feel fine after my abortion." The girl went on to detail a life of drug abuse, depression, and attempted suicide. Abby responded with a heartfelt apology and now, after several conversations, is getting the woman the help she needs. Abby's experience shows the heavy burden borne by former abortion industry workers. Satan constantly reminds them of the many lives they helped to end. Please pray for these dear people that when Satan reminds them of their past, they remind Satan of his future.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Finding just the right partner is a blessing when it comes to achieving God's plans. Hi, I'm Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Before taking this position, I worked with LCEF in my home congregation. It was a joy to find a true Lutheran partner that understood our unique needs as we built a school and welcomed new families into our church and community. I hope you experience that joy too. Visit lcef.org to find out how your ministry can become empowered in its kingdom work.
Worldwide KFUO is the most trusted place for sacred music of the church, where every night of the year you can hear sacred music. Weeknights at 6 p.m., listen to sacred music on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis, as well as streaming online at kfuo.org. Our online stream is in high-quality stereo, so you can hear the difference wherever you listen, on your computer, on Wi-Fi radio, and on your smartphone. We're Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Do you have a reason to reach out to us at Worldwide KFUO? Is there a piece of communication you'd like for us to receive? It's not hard to reach us. Our street address is KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. If you missed it, the street address is found at the bottom of our homepage online, kfuoam.org. Every day we bring you the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and song. Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
The Apostle Paul once wrote, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson. Indeed, your redemption is not in any degree the result of anything you have done. That 100% degree goes to Christ. It's all in Him. I'll talk more about your All in Him God Sunday on Moments of Assurance at 9:15 a.m. right here on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today, we are talking about missionary formation with our friends from Lutheran Bible Translators. We've been talking with Corey Fay. He's the missionary formation advisor with Lutheran Bible Translators. And also Michael Ursulin. He's a student who's participated in an exploratory program called Crossroads with Lutheran Bible Translators. And now we're talking about their trip, Crossroads, which was a trip to Botswana to learn about being a Lutheran Bible Translators missionary. Michael, tell us about the people that you got to interact with while you were there in Botswana.
We were able to meet with first the Shiei people, or Rieyi people, and they live more in northern Botswana, and we were able to see the translation project there and interacted just a little bit with them, but we interacted more with a people group called the Kwe. They are up in northern Botswana, very close to the border of Namibia. And they're more bushmen. And so we were able to go into one of their villages, or actually a couple of their villages, to observe what they do for on Sunday mornings with not so much of a worship service, but more of a Bible study. And it was very neat to see them hear the story of Babel for the first time in their language. We were able also to go another day to another village to see what is it like for life for them there, kind of in the sense of farming. We got to see a man's farm, hear from him personal stories. They did a recording of him telling the story of the origin of fire, just for understanding different words that he uses, but also just to preserve a little bit of his culture. Another people group that we got to see were called the Shakalahari, and that's the last people group that we were able to see. They're more in the Kalahari area, the Kalahari Desert, and they're more in the cities, or smaller cities, smaller towns where we were, and very friendly people. That the first day that we got there and we pulled on in with our van, there was a group of them just there. And they welcomed us, and then that evening they built a campfire for us to come on over and visit, and we got to meet each of them individually, and they were just talking about themselves, talking about different things within the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Botswana, and they were very open to just visiting with us and telling us anything that we wanted to know about Botswana. They have so much pride for their country and where they are, and that's great. So that's a little bit about some of the people that we were able to see and interact with.
Did you also get to interact with Lutheran Bible Translator missionaries there in Botswana?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. We were able to meet the Lutheran Bible Translator missionaries at each of the different sites. So we got to meet first a couple called Ishni and Rob Veit. They live in Maung. And Ishni is a biblical exegete. She works with the Rieyi or Shiei projects there. And then her husband, Rob, he is a vernacular media specialist. And I believe he's currently going through classes for a master's in ethnomusicology. So we were able to visit with them, see what life is like for them there in Maung, and ask some different questions. We were able to meet with another couple, our family, Pastor Tim and Lisa Beckendorf, who work with the Kwe people up north, and they also were very gracious and opened their house for us to come over, have a meal with them, visit, and they have two children that they have there that they homeschool, and we're able to meet them. And we met Pastor Richard Rudowski and his wife Maya and children who were living in Botswana. They just moved back to the United States because I believe Richard's working as the supervisor for Southern Africa. But we were also able to just see what life was like, ask them questions of missionary life in Botswana. And the last missionary that we met is Mr. John Strothman, and he works with the Shakalahari and previously worked in Namibia. So he has quite a bit of history also with Bible translation, and that was a very fascinating translation site to work at and see how they go about the translation and learn from him.
What was fascinating about that translation site?
with the Chicago Hurricane Station, we were able to observe an entire day of them doing a cross-checking. So they had already created made the translation in Shikalahari. And so he would ask one of the ladies that spoke the language natively and that was working with the translation to read the translation. And then he would ask the other lady that is a part of their team, that Shikalahari also, to read, try to cross-translate it back from Shikalahari to English to see how the translation went, if maybe there was a change within the translation. And then he would also just ask some differing questions concerning grammar, words, idioms within their language. And if idiom, in a sense, for those that may not know, is like a phrase that is for a language. Mm-hmm. So, that was one of the things with the translation site that I found very interesting. We were also able to go and observe another day, a community check. So we went out to a village and they read the translation to the people, and then they would ask the people certain questions about the translation. They asked them to retell the story. The people didn't see what the story was, so they were all listening because there's more of an oral society there, or part of the culture. And if they didn't touch on certain points, then the translators would ask them questions to kind of see if they remember, and also just to see what are the words that they're using as they're telling them the story back. And they'd make notations, and sometimes the people would ask, oh, why did you use this word? And then it would spur a discussion about it. So that was also another portion of translation that we were able to observe and learn from.
As you were watching this and observing this, what was going through your mind?
That they're hearing this for the first time in their language. And I take it for granted. But many of them, they speak many or a couple languages at least. And so maybe they've heard the story in another language, but for them to hear it for the first time in their language is something that just was exciting, and I took joy in observing that. And as they were discussing and going through the process of discussing words, order, maybe spelling, just the different ways that God uses his people to reach out to others to let them know of his love. And what a blessing and amazing way it is that God works, and it's through his word that he provides knowledge of himself and his love. And so that's the amazing thing of Bible translation.
You got to see the missionaries in action with this translation site. So you got to see the work of missionaries. What about missionary life beyond the work? You mentioned that some of them had invited you over and you got to spend time with them. How did that impact your perception on what missionary life is like?
Each of the areas that we were at with each of the missionaries, we had the opportunity, like I mentioned, to visit with them and at three of the sites go to their houses. And that was much of an encouragement, because when I originally thought of missionary life before going to Botswana, I had the idea that if it's not in a city, it's in a hut. And so I had, because other times when I have traveled abroad, it was more in bigger cities, and I've seen people in bigger cities, but here it was more rural areas, but they were still in their houses, and with each of the places that they were, you can still see the personalities of the different missionaries that were there. There's not a specific mold, per se, when it comes for a person, how they exactly live abroad. There's your personality can also carry there with you. One of the missionary houses, they had a bookshelf with a bunch of books with their two children that they're homeschooling, and I see all these books that I'm like, I read that. That's a great book. Or another missionary, when we were there at their house, they had just some paintings on their wall that were pretty. They personalized to learn that you don't lose your identity when you go abroad. You are still the day that I go abroad, I'm still Michael Erslin. And God still uses people to carry out his work. So that's something that I greatly enjoyed seeing. Other things that we got to see and learn from them was about education. And with one couple, they were homeschooling. Another family, they had their children in the education system there for a little while. For a little while, they also had someone come and teach their children. So just to see that there are options and different variations, different outlets for missionaries.
Corey, what were you hoping as missionary formation advisor, what were you hoping that the participants would gain from this experience traveling to Botswana, interacting with missionaries, both in their work setting and in their home life, and also interacting with the local people that are being served by Lutheran Bible translators? What was your hope?
Well, I hoped that they would gain a firsthand understanding of the ministry of LBT. It's one thing to come to Idiom and to do simulations. It's one thing to have conversations with missionaries here in the U.S., and it's a whole other thing to actually be immersed in the environment that people are working in and to see them at work, but also to see the reactions of people hearing the Word of God for the first time. There's nothing like that, and that's something very valuable in the formation process of a missionary. If they're able to see firsthand this work, they just have such a greater appreciation for the work itself and the importance of it, but also, as Michael mentioned, a greater appreciation for the Word of God in their own language and what a gift it is to have the Word of God available in English and to have it in so many forms readily available as electronically in print form, whatever it may be. Another goal was just learning to adapt and suspend judgment as you're in a different cultural environment. This kind of goes along with some of the reading that we assigned for the before this trip is learning what values you have and what values other people may have, and when they come into conflict with each other, and how you, when you first go overseas, you are observing all these new things for the first time, and a great skill to have as you're experiencing all these differences for the first time is to be able to listen and watch and observe and try to understand what's going on around you before jumping to conclusions about what that action or what those words may have meant as this a person from another culture is interacting with them. And so that was part of the that was another goal that I had for this trip. But not only having the ability to suspend judgment as you're working with people of different cultures and being immersed in a different culture, but also gaining a greater understanding of themselves. That was what I hoped for the participants, their values and perceptions and their worldview. It's important to know not only the values of the people that you're working with, but yourself. When you know what your values are, you have a better ability to be able to understand why something may have rubbed you the wrong way and why you're having culture shock in different situations. For instance, say church isn't starting and it's been 45 minutes since the actual start time. Well, okay, here in the West, we're very time-oriented, and so we get caught up in that idea of we want things to start at a certain time, and that's when you start. You don't wait for everyone else, whereas a lot of cultures that we work with are lean more toward an event orientation, where you don't start until everybody that's present or everybody that needs to be present is there. And so when you have a greater understanding that I'm very time oriented and I need to have things start on time, you understand why you may be having feelings of anxiety, anger, that kind of thing, as you're entering into a new culture. And it's through these kind of experiences you get to see that firsthand, and you learn better what some of your values are so that you can better adapt when you go into a long-term situation serving overseas.
Michael, having gone through this experience now with the Crossroads trip and seeing what the Bible translators, Lutheran Bible translators, get to experience on a day-to-day basis and meeting some of the people served there in Botswana, where have you decided to go from here?
Currently, I am taking classes in Texas at the Graduate Institute of Applied Linguistics. I just began this last week, and I will be in classes until January or February. It's about when they'll finish with a certificate. After that, I'm not quite too sure. Some of that depends on exactly if I believe God's calling me more towards biblical exegesis or vernacular media, and then where I'll go from there. There are certain classes that they offer here for people who hope to be biblical exegetes, continuing further with not only Greek and Hebrew, but translation issues that you may encounter with that. Or if I'd be going into vernacular media or scripture engagement, there are classes geared towards that and different workshops for like vernacular media. So that is something I will definitely be praying a lot more about between now and then. But since Crossroads, that's where I've continued on after completing the application process this spring and going on the trip, and then as I look towards the future.
As you're thinking about the future and potentially serving overseas as a missionary, You've gone through the training. You've been a student. You're studying now to prepare. What about other aspects of life? What about preparing to be away from your culture, from loved ones and family? How are you preparing for that?
One of the things that I have done just coming here is, as Corey mentioned, is learning to drive stick shift. When it comes to culture, that's one of the things that I've taken note that is on my bucket list of things I need to do that I heard at one of the times when I saw LBT recruits. They, like, learn to cook for food for yourself. I'm like, oh, excellent. I've cooked food by myself. Good. Another thing they said is stick shift. So, voila. My roommate has this car that's manual. So, we went on a test drive. Some of the things that I'm also going through, though, with family, I went to college in Wisconsin while my parents lived in Oklahoma, and that alone helped me adjust towards living not in the same state, not in the same area as I love so dearly that I'm related to. And so while I'm here in the States, I try to just, I value the time that I am with my family as I mentally prepare myself for living on another continent, in another time zone, in another place. Those are the two biggest, family, that's the biggest thing that I'm doing. Spiritually, another thing that I've heard so many missionaries mention, both while I was there in Botswana and also while I'm here at GIAL, Graduate Institute of Applied Linguistics, is if you don't take time for staying in the Word here while you're in your own culture, you will find it so much more difficult when you're in another culture, and there's so many things to learn there. And that is important, and that's something that I hope to grow in a lot more while I'm here at GIAL in Texas. I hope to grow so much more within the rhythm, and also appreciating and desiring the time of reading God's Word and staying in Scripture, because I fear that if I don't and I go abroad, I'm in a situation in a culture where I'm not used to anything. Where do I turn to?
Mm-hmm.
And that is one thing that never changes is God's word. And so as advice for people who contemplate going abroad, who just maybe not for missions, for travel, visiting family, work, or if it is for missions, which I highly encourage, God's word doesn't change. It's the same here in America. It's the same in Africa, in Europe, in Asia, all over the world. And there's always time. If you don't have time, you're too busy and you need to set aside more time. So that's the biggest thing that I hope to prepare as I'm here in Texas.
Corey, was this the first Crossroads trip?
No, there have been a number of different Crossroads trips over these past years. This is the first one, though, in the last 7 years. There had been probably four or five in a row, and then there wasn't really much interest. But then at the end of 2012, maybe mid-2012, we had a couple students who had been a part of Idiom who were saying, we want to learn more about LBT. Are there possibilities for internships or mission vision type trips? And so we resurrected this idea of doing a Crossroads trip with several students who were strong candidates in order to help them discern whether or not they would want to serve with LBT long-term overseas. And so that's how this Crossroads trip this year came about.
And so are there plans for Crossroads trips in the future that others might be able to participate in?
After going through this trip, we would love to have another Crossroads trip, and it'll depend a lot on the interests of others. If there are people who are interested that have been a part of Idiom or not necessarily been a part of Idiom, but that know a little bit about LBT who would like to see firsthand the work of LBT overseas, we would love to do another Crossroads trip, possibly at the same time next year or a little bit earlier, to Southern Africa and to experience the work of LBT there. And it's a great opportunity to, as Mike said, to learn more about LBT, but also to help decide, is this something that I want to do?
And so how can our listeners find out more about the going through the missionary formation process with Lutheran Bible Translators?
First off, you can go to our website, www.lbt.org/go. And that in that section, it talks a lot about the missionary formation process and different things that you can do to different questions you can ask yourself to see if you might be a good fit for missionary service, but also different resources that you might look to, and also by contacting us at the email address recruiter@lbt.org. And if you contact us, one of our staff here will get in touch with you and begin the conversation with you about how might you fit in this mission, and what are the kinds of things that you're gifted at, and what would we need to do to help you prepare for service with LBT?
Well, certainly that's a great step. Take that first step, lbt.org/go. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Go check it out and get connected with the recruiters there and find out more about that missionary formation process. Our guests today have been Michael Ursuline, a student who's gone through the Crossroads Exploratory Program and also now a student preparing to serve as a missionary with Lutheran Bible Translators. Michael, thanks so much for being our guest on Faith and Family today.
Thank you very much.
And also our guest has been Corey Fay, Missionary Formation Advisor with Lutheran Bible Translators. Corey, thanks so much for being our guest on Faith and Family.
Thank you for having me.
Well, stick around for more great programming, including the Bible study right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.